Our scripture reading this morning will come from three different places. The first place will be from Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 16. Then we will read a portion of 2 Samuel 19, and finally our text as we find it in 1 Kings. This will be our last sermon on the books of Samuel and those first chapters of Kings, which wraps up the Samuel story. 2 Samuel chapter 16, and we'll be reading the verses 5 through 12. As King David approached Bahurim, a man from the same clan as Saul's family came out from there. His name was Shimei, son of Gera, and he cursed as he came out. He pelted David and all the king's officials with stones, though all the troops and the special guard were on David's right and left. As he cursed, Shimei said, get out, you man of blood, you scoundrel. The Lord has repaid you for all the blood you shed in the household of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. The Lord has handed the kingdom over to your son Absalom. You have come to ruin because you are a man of blood. Then Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and cut off his head. But the king said, what do you and I have in common, you sons of Zeruiah? Is he cursing because the Lord has said to him, curse David? Who can ask? Why do you do this? David then said to Abishai and all his officials, my son, who is of my own flesh, is trying to take my life. How much more than this Benjamite? Leave him alone, let him curse, for the Lord has told him to. It may be that the Lord will see my distress and repay me with good for the cursing I am receiving today. So David and his men continued along the road while Shimei was going along the hillside opposite him, cursing as he went and throwing stones at him and showering him with dirt. The king and all the people with him arrived at their destination exhausted, and there the king refreshed himself. And then if you'll turn with me to 19, 2 Samuel chapter 19, we'll begin at verse 18 and we'll read through verse 23. 2 Samuel 19, beginning at verse 18 through 23. They crossed at the ford to take the king's household over and to do whatever he wished. When Shimei, son of Gera, crossed the Jordan, he fell prostrate before the king and said to him, may my lord not hold me guilty. Do not remember how your servant did wrong on the day my lord the king left Jerusalem. May the king put it out of his mind. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned. But today I have come here as the first of the whole house of Joseph to come down and meet my lord the king. Then Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said, shouldn't Shimei be put to death for this? He cursed the Lord's anointed. David replied, what do you and I have in common, you sons of Zeruiah? This day you have become my adversaries. Should anyone be put to death in Israel today? Do I not know that today I am king over Israel? So the king said to Shimei, you shall not die. And the king promised him on oath. And then our text this morning is found in 1 Kings chapter 2. And we'll be reading the verses 36 through 46. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 36 through 46. Then the king sent for Shimei and said to him, build yourself a house in Jerusalem and live there, but do not go anywhere else. The day you leave and cross the Kidron Valley, you can be sure you will die. Your blood will be on your own head. Shimei answered the king, what you say is good. Your servant will do as my lord the king has said. And Shimei stayed in Jerusalem for a long time. But 3 years later, two of Shimei's slaves ran off to Achish, son of Maacah, king of Gath. Shimei was told, your slaves are in Gath. At this he saddled his donkey and went to Achish at Gath in search of his slaves. So Shimei went away and brought the slaves back from Gath. When Solomon was told that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and had returned, the king summoned Shimei and said to him, "Did I not make you swear by the Lord and warn you? On the day you leave to go anywhere else, you can be sure you will die. At that time you said to me, 'What you say is good, I will obey.' Why then did you not keep your oath to the Lord and obey the command I gave you?" The king also said to Shimei, "You know in your heart all the wrongs you did to my father David. Now the Lord will repay you for your wrongdoing, but King Solomon will be blessed, and David's throne will remain secure before the Lord forever." Then the king gave the order to Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, and he went out and struck Shimei down and killed him. The kingdom was now firmly established in Solomon's hands. A couple things to mention as we begin. You heard my pronunciation to be Shimei, and as I said, there were two different books that each have it two different ways, Shimei, Shimei, and I went Shimei one time here, and everyone afterward kept saying Shimei. So I'm going to use the pronunciation that you're most familiar with and certainly is in agreement with one of the pronunciation books. Also, take note of your outlines in your bulletins. This morning's passage is the close of a larger section of the book of Kings, chapter 2. You will notice that this section begins with similar verses. It begins in chapter 2, verse 12, where we read, "So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his rule was firmly established." It concludes at the end of verse 46, "The kingdom was now firmly established in Solomon's hands." The last several sermons, we have been tracing our way through these stories that have come between these two verses. These two verses bracket the entire section, and it is a description of how Solomon's kingdom was established. As we have said in previous sermons, there are those who say that what Solomon is up to in this piece of 1 Kings chapter 2 is vengeance. Those with a more liberal bent of Scripture who seek to find negative things about God's kings and whatever they do say that what Solomon is doing is an act of vengeance against those who did not really deserve such harsh and deadly treatment. The first stories we have looked at Adonijah, his older brother, who had his own claim for the throne. He was put to death. We have looked at Abiathar, the priest so faithful to David, but who had joined Adonijah. He was removed from the priesthood. We have looked at Joab, David's faithful general who led the armies of Israel at battle, who went to the altar, holding on to the horns of the altar, proclaiming his safety in that place. Solomon had him put to death at the altar's horns. Solomon out for vengeance, they say, and this story is no different. Shimei is a man who lives in Jerusalem. He has taken an oath that he will stay in Jerusalem. His slaves, his own property, has run away to the king of the Philistines. Solomon has told him, "You may not cross the Kidron Valley." He does not. He goes to Gath. If he were to cross the Kidron Valley, that would mean he was headed towards home, towards the tribe of Benjamin. He goes to Gath, the opposite way, Technically, somebody could say, he has not crossed that Kidron Valley, yet Solomon has him put to death. Who, if they weren't in Shimei's shoes, wouldn't have done the same thing, these liberal scholars say? Solomon is out for vengeance. But as we have said in previous sermons, the theme of this chapter, the theme of these stories in 1 Kings chapter 2 is not about Solomon's vengeance, but this is Solomon's justice. Let's take a closer look at our text this morning, in particular at that structural outline that you find in your bulletins. You will notice that there are two conversations that Samuel has with Shimei. These conversations form a parallel structure in our text. Verses 36 through 38, Solomon summons Shimei to come speak to him, and he does. Verses 41 through 45, there is a follow-up conversation. If you took a careful looking at the verses, the wording, you would see many parallel verses. You would see similar language, similar principles being made in both conversations, demonstrating that there is a connection between the two. They form a parallel structure. In the center of those conversations, we have a chiastic structure. Those two verses, verses 39 and 40, form this structure, and they place that phrase at the center. Your slaves are in Gath. In the first conversation, verse 36 through 38, Shimei makes his oath. In verses 41 through 45, the second conversation, Solomon confronts Shimei for breaking his oath. What was the crime? That's in the center. The slaves are in Gath, and Shimei has left Jerusalem and has gone to Gath. But why is this a big deal? The scholars have said that Solomon is being too harsh. He's being vengeful. After all, who wouldn't have done the same thing if they found themselves in Shimei's shoes? But once again, let's take a careful look at Solomon's wisdom, a careful look at what Solomon has said to Shimei in his oath. We begin at verse 36. We see that the king has sent for Shimei, that he has spoken to him and said, "Build yourself a house in Jerusalem and live there, but do not go anywhere else. The day you leave and cross the Kidron Valley, you can be sure you will die. Your blood will be on your own head." Shimei answers the king, "What you say is good." He agrees that what Solomon has said is good. He even declares by oath, as we're told later in verse 43, the day where he declares, "And your servant will do as my lord the king has said." On oath, Shimei has agreed to do this. Now he's telling him to stay in Jerusalem. Why? Well, you notice the geography in the text. We're told in verse 36 he is not to go anywhere else. But we were also told in verse 37, do not cross the Kidron Valley. You see, there is a history here with Shimei of which we have read previously in the books of Samuel. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 16 about David's road of humiliation. We read of Shimei's cursing of the king. As David is fleeing Jerusalem, as he is fleeing from his son Absalom, as he crossed the Kidron Valley, he came to the region of Bahurim, which was the home of Saul's family and clan. Shimei clearly curses the king. Get out, you man of blood, you scoundrel. The Lord has repaid you for the blood you shed on the household of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. You have come to ruin because you are a man of blood. He is pelting the king with stones, with dirt, showering insults and curses upon him. And David's general, Abishai, declares, "Let me go over and cut off his head." You see, to curse the king is a crime worthy of death. In the book of the law, Exodus 22, verse 28, we read that anyone who curses the king or a representative of God as the king is worthy of death. In the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which I have printed on your outlines, the third commandment, a summary of Scripture, lays it out this way. Question and answer 55. What is required in the third commandment? The third commandment forbiddeth all profaning or abusing of anything whereby God maketh himself known. God has made himself known in his king. Shimei has cursed the king. He has cursed God himself. Shimei has committed a sin worthy of death. When David returns across the Jordan River in 2 Samuel chapter 19, Shimei is there. This time, Shimei is not cursing. Instead, he has arrived there with Ziba and Saul's household. He has arrived there with 1,000 Benjamites. He knows that the king is at a point of weakness and upon his return will seek to reunite the kingdom. Shimei falls prostrate before the king. "May the Lord not hold me guilty. Do not remember how your servant did wrong on the day my lord the king left Jerusalem. May the king put it out of his mind. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned, but today I have come as the first of the whole house of Joseph to come down and meet my lord the king." Abishai knows the law. He responds to Shimei and his repentance by saying, "Shouldn't Shimei be put to death for this? He has cursed the Lord's anointed." And David replies, "Why should anyone be put to death in Israel today?" He told Shimei, "You shall not die." Shimei has cursed the king, but he has also come to the king and he has verbally expressed words of repentance. He asked the king to put it out of his mind. He tells the king that he has sinned, but now he is coming to show his loyalty to the king. Shimei has come to put pressure on David with 1,000 Benjamites that are with him and Ziba, the steward of Saul's household. Shimei's words fall a little short. He does not say, as David did, "I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against you." But he comes with a proper posture. He falls on his knees. He comes and he says enough things that would indicate to David that perhaps this man is repentant of what he has done. David grants him life. David recognizes the Benjamites are there. He recognizes what Israel has gone through. He grants him life. He allows Shimei's words, his words of repentance, to have time to be true. On David's deathbed, in 1 Kings chapter 2, he instructs Solomon this way, verse 9. But now do not consider Shimei innocent. You are a man of wisdom. You will know what to do with him. Bring his gray head down to the grave in blood. Solomon is a man of wisdom. Solomon is not a man of vengeance. Solomon is a king of justice. In Shimei, he is dealing with a man who has sinned by cursing the king and ultimately cursing God. He is dealing with a man who, once the circumstances changed, he returns to the king at the Jordan River and tells the king to put it out of his mind and tells the king that he has sinned. He is dealing with a man who has expressed from his mouth words that have cursed the king and words that have expressed loyalty and repentance to the king. Which words are true? Well, Solomon, the man of wisdom, has a plan. David has granted Shimei life because Shimei has fallen on his knees in repentance. Solomon recognizes that Shimei should not return to his hometown, to his home region, where Saul's clan and his tribe of Benjamin live. Instead, he instructs him to live in Jerusalem. He grants him the opportunity to build a house in the city of the king. He tells him not to go anywhere else, especially do not cross the Kidron Valley. Now think about what that means. The city of Jerusalem is the city of God's people. It's the city of the king. We have a man that has sinned and is worthy of death, but he has expressed repentance and he has granted a house in the city of the king with God's people. But his place in that city rests on the keeping of his word. Solomon has Shimei swear an oath. He answers the king, "What you say is good. Your servant will do as my lord the king has said." And we read that he stayed in Jerusalem for a long time. But now we're told in verses 39 through 40 about Shimei's crime. His slaves have run away, his property. They have run to Achish, king of Gath. We're told specifically in verse 39 that he is told, "Your slaves are in Gath." Shimei has a choice now. He can go to the king and say, "Oh king, my slaves have run away. May I go get them in Gath?" He doesn't do it. He could have arranged for others to perhaps go and pursue those slaves and to bring them back on his behalf because of his oath. But instead, we're told that after hearing those words, "Your slaves are in Gath," there is no stopping him. There is no care for his oath or for the word he has sworn before God himself and God's king. Instead, in verse 40, he saddles his donkey. He went to Achish at Gath in search of his slaves. He went away and brought back the slaves from Gath. Shimei has sworn an oath. He has declared that he will not leave the city of Jerusalem. He has said it before God and before God's king and declared the conditions good. He threw it all off for his slaves, for his property. And besides, he went to a Philistine king, an enemy of Israel. Not a good choice. When Solomon hears in verse 41 what he has done, that he has gone to Jerusalem from Gath, or gone to from Jerusalem to Gath and had returned, once again we read the king summoned him and said to him, "Did I not make you swear by the Lord and warn you, on the day you leave to go anywhere else, you can be sure you will die? At that time you said to me, 'What you say is good, I will obey.' Why then did you not keep your oath to the Lord and obey the command I gave you?" That last verse, verse 43, sums it all up. Shimei has made an oath, and he has declared that he will obey Solomon and he will obey the Lord, and he broke his oath, he broke his word. Now, wait a minute. Those liberal scholars have said, why is this such a big deal? His slaves ran away, he went to get them. Technically, he didn't cross the Kidron Valley. He didn't go to Benjamin and to stir up trouble against the king. Instead, he went to Gath, got his slaves, he returned right away. This isn't such a big deal. Why then does Solomon be so harsh with him? Verse 46, and put him to death. Well, if you go back to your outlines this morning, I have laid out for you the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question and answer 55. The third commandment forbiddeth all profaning or abusing of anything whereby God maketh himself known. That's what he did the first time. But I have also included the fuller expression of that from the Westminster Larger Catechism, question and answer 113. What are the sins forbidden in the third commandment? The sins forbidden in the third commandment are the not using of God's name as it is required, and the abuse of it in an ignorant, vain, irreverent, profane, superstitious, or wicked mentioning, or otherwise using his titles, attributes, ordinances, or works by blasphemy, perjury. All sinful cursings, oaths, vows, and lots, and violating our oaths and vows, if lawful. When Shimei cursed the king, he violated the third commandment. When Shimei violated his oath, he broke the same commandment. Solomon, in his wisdom, enabled Shimei to live out his repentance. You have cursed the king. You have come to the king for repentance and forgiveness. We will grant you life. Live in the city of the king with God's people. If you are faithful to your vows to stay in that kingdom, you may live. Shimei threw out his vows. You will notice that, as the text tells us in verse 42 and 44, Shimei does not answer. We read that the king summoned Shimei and said to him, verse 42, and he tells him what he has done wrong. He asks him, "Why then did you not keep your oath to the Lord and obey the command I gave you?" Then it's repeated. The king also said to Shimei, there is no answer for Shimei. Why? Because look what the king said in verse 44. My NIV has it worded this way: "You know in your heart all the wrong you did to my father David." But if you look at the other translations, it's worded much, much better. In those other translations, it's worded this way: "What you have done is a sign of what's going on in your heart." One of the translations says, "You know, as your heart acknowledges all the evil that you did to my father David. What does that mean? You know as your heart acknowledges. What it means is that Shimei, in his cursing of the king, comes to the king in repentance. Solomon, in his wisdom, has set this up to see if Shimei's words are true. What is in his heart? Was he truly repentant for what he did, or did he just do it so he could live because he now saw David was in control? Let's see if he can keep an oath before God. His heart has acknowledged by his throwing away that oath the evil he has done. And so suddenly the king of justice, verse 44, knows that he cannot trust his words. Which words are true? The words of cursing as an expression of what's in your heart, or the words of repentance as an expression that is in your heart? Now you have sworn an oath before God and you violated that oath. You are a man where your words, your oaths are proved to be not true. So now, verse 44, as your heart acknowledges all the wrong you did to my father David, the Lord will repay you for your wrongdoing. The king of justice does not put him to death based on the fact that he violated his oath and went to get his slaves. The king of justice puts him to death for cursing the king. Shimei came in a spirit of repentance, so they thought. David wasn't sure. Solomon wasn't sure. Now they know. As he's violated his oath, Shimei has nothing to say. The Lord will repay you for your wrongdoing. Verse 45, but King Solomon will be blessed, and David's throne will remain secure before the Lord forever. And the king gave the order to Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, and he went out and struck Shimei down and killed him. You will notice which city Shimei lived in. A man of repentance. A man granted a place in the city of God with God's people. If you are repentant, you may live in Jerusalem. But when he violates his oath, we don't know which words are true, cursing or repentance. We have to assume it's the cursing. And when he is put out by Benaiah, he is outside of the city of God's people. The Lord has given us a king of justice and a king of peace. A greater king sits on the throne than Solomon. A greater king who has greater wisdom than Solomon. God gave Solomon the wisdom to see through Shimei's unrepentant heart. He did not love the king. He did not love the repentance or living in the city of Jerusalem. He loved his slaves, his property more than his word, and given the opportunity to run after his slaves, he chose that instead of his vow, instead of his faithfulness to God and God's king. Our king has come to this earth and died on the cross for our sins. He has come bringing His grace, and we of God's people have come in a spirit of repentance. In our vows of repentance, we have declared that we are sinners, that we need God's grace and God's forgiveness. We have declared that we belong to Him, and He has granted us the privilege of living in His kingdom with His people. But Jesus has greater wisdom than Solomon. And there will come a day where the King of Justice will be seated on His throne, and you will stand before Him. You have made an oath. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I come in a repentant and humble spirit before the King. But are those words true? For Shimei, as he stood before Solomon, he had nothing left to say. His words of repentance based on his works were proved not true. How good is your word? How true are the words that you have said? For Shimei, they were good for about 3 years. Until he lost some property. As you stand before the King, he seeks to know the sincerity of your repentance, the sincerity of your oath, of your words that you have taken in your membership vows in his church. Are the words of repentance you have spoken sincere? Or does your heart acknowledge otherwise? God's King, the Lord Jesus, is a King of justice. He is also a King of peace. May the words of repentance of your heart be sincere. May you express a love for that King and a love for living in His city, in His church. May your heart rejoice at the knowledge that He has died for you, that you belong to Him, that you have not violated your oath. But your heart comes with a sincere repentance that you are a sinner, that Jesus Christ has died for you, that you belong to Him forever. May you know this grace. May you live in Jerusalem both now and forevermore. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we look this morning at the story of Shimei, we can see and understand parallels to our own lives. For Lord, we see in him a false repentance. A repentance, Lord, that only seeks to do what is good for his own circumstances. When the king flees, he curses. When the king returns, he demonstrates repentance. Lord, may we be, as your people, faithful to the King. May our words of repentance be sincere, that we hate our sin, that we do not want to do it anymore because we love the King. May you help us through temptations to not turn from those vows and throw them off for our own pleasure, for our own advantage. But may we, with the spirit of your grace at work in us, demonstrate a humbleness, a repentance, a love for the King, a greater love for living in Jerusalem with him than any temptation we may face in this world. Grant us, O God, your grace and strength. Grant us the ability to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. Enable us to know that whatever works we do are your Spirit upon us, and work in us to pray and plead day by day for that Spirit to grant us that grace of repentance each and every day of our lives. We rejoice that our King returns, for we do not fear him. We who love you, we who love the King, look forward to his return, for we know that that heavenly city of Jerusalem, which we can only taste now, will be ours on that day forever. We pray all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now sing together of the Lord, our Judge of all the earth, with the singing of number 49, O Lord, Thou Judge of all the earth. I'd like to ask Natasha to play through this one for us one time, and let us then stand together and sing all the stanzas of number 49.
Mercy was my stay.
Receive the benediction of our God. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures.